relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Sebastian, well, listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome back. They're doing it again. Everywhere they turn, they see fascists, individuals being freely elected by the citizens of their states. Now it is the prime minister, the incoming prime minister of Italy, which is strange because somebody asked the man that she was running against, Giorgia Meloni was running against, and Matteo Renzi on CNN, no less, had a slightly different approach to the question. Cut five, play cut.
That is not a danger for Italian democracy. She's my rival. I'm rival. We will continue to fight each other. But the ideas are now there is a risk of fascism in Italy is absolutely a fake news.
The idea that Italy is in danger of fascism is absolutely fake news, quote unquote, from Matteo Renzi, the left-wing politician who was defeated by Giorgia Meloni. Let's extrapolate further why there seems to be international TDS or derangement syndrome with any conservative, with our regular, one of our favorites here on America First, Lord Conrad Black, host, co-host of the podcast Scholars in Sense and presidential historian amongst many, many other things. Lord Black, welcome back.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Always a pleasure.
So we were saying in the break, it seems as if we've had an intermezzo, a little hiatus in conservative successes, especially with what happened in 2020 with the elections here in America. But it looks as if, given Sweden, given Italy, that the good guys are winning again. Is it too early to say that?
I don't think so. The 2020 election obviously is a special case. I mean, despite the frenzied, and it must be said, somewhat successful efforts of a unanimous national political media to maintain the pretense, there's no possible question about that election. It is clear as we get close to the midterms that approximately half the people suspect that it was a cooked result, at least in part. And so we'll never know. You can't change presidents now. But that was just a very unusual election in a pandemic with a lot of new and easily abused rules of voting and vote counting. It doesn't really stand there as a turning point in ideological or policy terms. But the rest of the trend, I think, is fairly clear. You have a movement to the right within the Conservative Party of the United Kingdom, gains for the right in the recent French elections, and the incumbent reelected government of President Macron moving somewhat to the right within the spectrum to accommodate that. The election in Italy, the election of a distinctly more conservative leader of the opposition in Canada. As far as we can tell, you don't want to be premature, but the polls on balance coming up to the midterms do show a trend somewhat towards the Republicans. So I think there's a trend there, and I think it's obviously these countries all have somewhat different political facts to deal with. But on the other hand, we're all the ones mentioned are advanced, prosperous Western democracies, and they're, it seems to me, responding more or less in the same way to the same factors.
Well, let's look at the state of the current incumbent power in the United States. Shockingly, I don't know yet how her former colleagues in the White House have reacted to this. The former White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, who's now a left-wing media talking head, had this shocking statement to make with regards to the impending midterm elections.
Look, I think that Democrats, if the election is about who is the most extreme, as we saw, you know, Kevin McCarthy touch on there with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'll say her name, sitting over his left side, then they're going to win. If it is a referendum on the president, they will lose. And they know that.
Are you surprised that a woman who very recently was standing at the podium in the White House has just said on MSNBC that if these elections are a referendum about my former boss, the Democrats are, quote, going to lose, Lord Black?
Yes and no. I mean, of course, I hadn't really seen her since she was the White House press secretary, so it's a surprise to hear her doing anything other than an elaborate, and it must be said, skillful job of putting the ever more difficult case on behalf of that administration. But on the other hand, you know, the free market operates, and she works for NBC now and not for President Biden, and she is serving her present employer by telling the facts. And that's presumably what she's more or less paid to do. So, she rose in my estimation that she could wrench herself loose from the spurious myth she was propagating in overachieving in her task as trying to present the Biden administration as knowing what it was doing and speaking more as a reasonably objective commentator.
All right, let's focus at the recent events in Europe. This was Giorgio Meloni, the incoming prime minister, speaking earlier this year at CPAC. And I think we've ascertained why it is they hate her so much. This is Cut 12, the successful political candidate, the conservative Giorgio Meloni.
People understand that in this age, the only way of being rebels is to preserve what we are. The only way of being rebels is to be conservatives. It's the same all over the world. So-called progressives use the power and the arrogance of their mainstream media to force their political opponents to change, to be allowed into their inner circles. Except that once right-wing men and women are admitted into progressive inner circles, they will have changed so much that conservative people will no longer recognize them and will stop supporting them. And that's exactly what they want. A right wing on a leash.
That's what they want, a right wing on a leash. When you look at the censorship of the Hunter Biden story, the raid of Mar-a-Lago, on and on et al., perhaps these are the reasons that she has been so lambasted by the left-wing media, because of statements like that one, Lord Black.
I think that is very likely right. I thought what she said was a skillful and apt analysis. And this attempt to describe her as a fascist is just the reflex that we have in almost all of these countries. I mean, in fairness, the British and Canadians, being relatively more moderate, don't bandy that word around so much. But you Americans are overachievers. You up it from fascist to Nazi, which is, of course, even more odious because it connotes genocide. This is the shorthand we're in. Anyone who is not supposedly progressive, although we now see from the floundering of the Biden administration that progressive policies lead to economic regression and recession, anyone who is not on the progressive bandwagon, it won't do to call them a conservative. That's not defamatory enough. You have to call them a fascist. No one nowadays really knows what a fascist was, except that it's an authoritarian street bully or something of that sort. And the annoying thing about this is not just that it is, in almost every case, an outrageous misrepresentation of everything being described. It is a trivialization of the evils of fascism that our parents and forebears had to fight and defeat at immense cost in blood and treasure. And when Nancy Pelosi referred to the enclosures in which the abandoned children of illegal migrants we're very comfortably housed or lodged and well fed, as reminiscent of Auschwitz, or Ken Burns, the filmmaker, said sending volunteers of illegal migrants, 50 of them, to Martha's Vineyard was like sending people to Auschwitz. It was not only a monstrous defamation of the people whom they thought they were denouncing, it was an evil trivialization of the extent of the satanic danger of Nazism itself, when within the living memory still of many millions of people, our societies had to fight and defeat it.
Yeah, and add to that the fact that comparing Martha's Vineyard to a death camp, when in fact within 48 hours the Democrat forces, powers that be in Massachusetts, had those 48 illegal aliens deported off the island by the National Guard and then sent to a military camp was beyond ironic. We're talking to the co-host of Scholars and Sense, along with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett. He is the author, most recently, of Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other. But he has also written on Nixon and FDR, among many other topics as well. You're listening to America First. Please subscribe to the podcast. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Do leave us a 5-star review. It does help with the dastardly algorithms. And for the links to your friends, it's absolutely free. We'll be back with Lord Black in a moment.
In Italy tomorrow appear poised to make a hard right turn. The woman expected to become prime minister leads a party with roots in neo-fascism.
And she is poised to become Italy's first woman prime minister and its first far-right leader since Benito Mussolini himself. It would be unprecedented in modern times for a Western European country and close ally of the United States to have a leader that right-wing, from a party with fascist roots, no less.
What happened in Italy yesterday, you have in Sweden and Italy, two countries that have that were founded on fascism. Now they're going to be running those countries.
The victory of a party that has its roots in Italian fascism, plain and simple, the Brothers of Italy, it's called, Giorgio Meloni's party, is concerning to everybody. It accompanies, as you said, this move in Europe. Who could think that in Sweden a party with right-wing neo-fascist roots would now be dominant in parliament?
Just a selection of the mainstream media's commentary on Meloni's victory in Italy. With that statement there from that intellectual giant Joe Scarborough saying Sweden and Italy, nations that were founded on fascism. I think that would be news to Garibaldi. We are back with Lord Conrad Black. Please follow him, conradmblack.com and conradmblack on Twitter. Lord Black, you made a very interesting statement in the first segment that for some reason in the British political scene, in the mainstream media there and in Canada, they haven't resorted as yet to the slur of calling somebody a Nazi. Why is it, as a historian of American politics, why have we sunken so low here that in the last 6 years that has become the epithet of choice for anyone who is a conservative?
This is something that I think would require, to answer it with authority, a great deal of sophisticated sociological analysis. But shooting from the hip, I think it at least part of the answer is that the arrival of Trump and the Trump phenomenon, the exposure of the vulnerability of the political establishment, the sort of Bush, McCain, Obama, yes, Romney groupthink that in the post-Reagan era, it controlled everything in Washington, everything politically in the country. The fact that it was overturned and almost completely crushed in one blow in 2016 and is still fighting for its life, and not all that successfully on current appearances, is so shocked the political establishment in the U.S., including the national political media, that it made it an irresistible temptation for a great many completely simple-minded people who are happy to peddle sheer fiction anyway, no matter how malicious and unfounded it is, such as Joe Scarborough, who couldn't find Sweden or Italy on a map, in my opinion, but having been on this program, it's easy for them, and they're resistless against the temptation of going to a sort of default page that is shocking. So instead of saying these people are too conservative, or they're somewhat reactionary, or they're old-fashioned, or their ideas have been tried and didn't work, anything like that, we will just do it quicker and more decisively by calling them fascists, because most people only have a dim idea of what a fascist is.
Right.
There hasn't been a real live fascist for a long time. By the way, while I'm at it,
mm-hmm.
Benito Mussolini was a socialist. He had
yes.
been a socialist. He set up a fascist party that was really just a bully boy version of a socialist party. That was the March on Rome. And he has absolutely nothing to do, nothing to do with the movement that has won the election, the Brothers of Italy. I mean, they don't espouse fascism at all. As she said, she espouses God, family, and country. Well, Mussolini was an ostentatious atheist. He used to go all around Italy for 20 years making speeches in which he would say, pointing up at the sky, like the people Hillary Clinton took fright of in Ohio a couple of weeks ago, pointing up at the sky saying, "I say God doesn't exist. Strike me down if you're there." You know, I mean, this is kind of utterly nonsensical vocal atheism is one of Mussolini's oratorical ploys. So, I mean, where they think that Giorgio Meloni, who's not a rabid Roman Catholic, but is a respecter of Christianity and a believer in God in general, a divine intelligence at least, where that connects to Mussolini, the answer to that is nowhere. It doesn't. It has no connection to him. It is more antithetical to Mussolini than your average uninformed mouthy leftist in the United States today, like Joe Scarborough.
Yeah,
he's more of a Mussolini follower than she is.
He was absolutely a socialist who simply stole the fasces, the symbol of the Roman Empire, as his symbol for his party. Let's return to the calumny, the smear campaign, one of the front and center victims after President Trump is, of course, Congressman Matt Gaetz. Why? Because he's a very effective speaker against the radical left. This is his plan for what happens after the midterm elections that are occurring imminently. Cut 8.
If we don't engage in impeachment inquiries to get the documents and the testimony and the information we need, then I believe that our voters will feel betrayed, and that likely that could be the biggest win the Democrats could hope for in 2024, when it really matters to investigate them and to hold them accountable. And we can do that without the Senate and without the White House. And that's why it should be investigations first.
That's what Matt Gaetz actually announced on our show about 6 months ago, that every committee should be an investigatory committee. Your reaction as somebody who suffered at the hands of capricious judicial system, that this week anonymous sources said that Matt Gaetz, after a year and a half, will not be charged with sex trafficking and with statutory rape, Lord Black.
Well, it merely shows that they have absolutely not a shred of a case and never did, because American prosecutors are notoriously confident they can convict anybody of anything. Because of the plea bargain rule, they just target people that could furnish evidence if they had any, and tell them that if they don't furnish the evidence, they are participating in a conspiracy to obstruct justice and will be charged. But if they do furnish the evidence, just to reassure them, they will be given an absolute immunity from a charge of perjury. So that's how the United States has, federally, a 98 78% conviction rate compared to, say, 61% in Canada or 50% in Britain, not because our prosecutors are poor and we have a lower crime rate in both Britain and Canada, but because the system actually allows the defense to win if they deserve to win. And so if they couldn't even rummage up a charge against a political enemy like Matt Gaetz with the system they've got, then it shows how spurious the whole proceeding was. Where I would take issue with the congressman slightly is, I mean, I'm all for it. I assume the Republicans will win the House of Representatives and will.
We have 10 seconds left.
It is just this, that the Democrats have control of the Department of Justice, and they execute the subpoenas, and they'll still have control, and they won't execute the Republican subpoenas.
No, but of course the powers of the purse remain in the House, and if they are used effectively, they can be very, very powerful. We've been talking to Lord Black. Follow him, Conrad M. Black, conradmblack.com, and of course the most recent book, Donald J. Trump, a president like no other. We'll be back with your calls here on America First.
I want to thank all of you here for, including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie?
Where is Representative Jackie Walorski? You mean the representative who died recently and who you issued a statement of condolence on? That one? Yes, that's Biden asking somebody if the dead person would stand up in the building. Kind of a great cut to introduce our next guest. He, you know who he is. You've seen his face on Fox every single day. Media, and I think probably the best media commentator out there. Yes, I said it, to quote Mark Levin. And now he is an author with a book that is, I wonder who it's about. It's called Come On, Man. Joe Concha, welcome to America First.
That's right, I said it.
That's a pretty good event, right?
That's good. Yes, that's right. I said it. I've never seen it. As the author of three books, I think you're just an author of one book at this time.
Yes.
I've never seen a press packet which opens with this phraseology. Joe Biden's first term is one of the most craptastic in American history. Did you help with that copy, Joe Concha?
That I wrote, yes. Craptastic is all mine, going back to my single days way back when describing my 8-minute dating sessions. But yes, that now applies to this president, who is polling lower than any first-term president in history. Got to go all the way back to Harry S. Truman in terms of anybody who's no one has polled lower than this president, because like you talk about every day on this great show, Sebastian, when you have inflation at a 40-year high, when you have cashless bail laws allowing criminals to go out and hurt and kill people again and again, when you have an open border where, you know, people talk about 2 million people have come into this country illegally over the last year. But when you add up 2 years and then you add the gotaways in there, we are now approaching the entire population of Ireland, 5 million people entering this country since Joe Biden took office. And I could go on and on, but on the major issues, and I look at it objectively, you know me, I'm not like some rabid partisan. I try to look at things and give people a fair shake. I give F's across the board for this president, and it compelled me to write this book because it's that bad. And, oh, by the way, there are 15 books coming out on the president in the next 5 weeks, except that president is Trump. I am literally – you are literally talking to the only author who has written about Joe Biden and put it to paper in a book at this point because – well, I guess most of those White House correspondents and journalists only want to write about Trump and not the guy currently in power destroying the country in Joe Biden.
Well, you always want to be a little bit different, but that's truly stunning. I guess the other authors don't know that he's no longer president. The book is called Come On, Man! The Truth About Joe Biden's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Presidency. We're going to talk about the chapter on a certain man who, he was a bad dude and he liked rusty chains. But first, I'm going to ask the big picture because you're a serious dude, Joe. I know this is a fun exercise for you, but the second line of your promo packet said, this may be the most craptastic presidency in American history, but on Planet Brandon, it's all going according to plan. Now, here's the big question, Joe.
Yeah.
Is this the plan? Is the destruction of America, open borders, record inflation, a military that's uber woke, is this actually what they wish to achieve, or are they incompetent? What does Joe Concha tell the world in his book?
Combination of both, because this man and Joe Biden has been incompetent his entire adult life. Remember when he used to brag about, I was the highest, I had the best grades of anybody in my law school, and it turns out he was near the bottom. And then he becomes senator, where he's a below average senator. And then he's a vice president, where he's a below average vice president. He's done everything below average, yet he has failed his way up to the presidency. So he's never been competent, just very lucky. But then in terms of intentional, in terms of what's the motive, I think Joe Biden, he's always been portrayed as a moderate, Sebastian, but yes, really, he has always thought that government is the solution instead of the problem. Remember the way he celebrated Obamacare, the base expansion of government we've seen in decades, and he said, this is a big effing deal. He was happy about that. And now that he's president, not a senator where he's one of 100, but he has true power, look at the way he is governing, or at least his handlers are pushing him to govern, and he's going right along with it. Spending trillions in the middle of a recession, and then having the audacity to say that actually all this spending is going to reduce inflation. Uh-huh. Or the border, again, if you put Kamala Harris in charge of fixing the border and she literally compared ICE agents to the KKK, I have a feeling that situation isn't going to be solved. And when you take the side of teachers union over parents like me, I have a first and a third grader, where you advocate for them to be taught about gender identification and sexual orientation, and you don't say one peep about it, yeah, it is all intentional in terms of the way he is governing. That big government, expansion of government, wokeism, all of it is intentional.
All right, I have to ask, you got a whole chapter on Corn Pop, the bad dude. Did you track him down? Did you interview him for this book, Joe Concha?
I wish I could. I would need like a Ouija board, because unfortunately he passed away in 2016. So
Hang on. This guy is real?
He's real. Yes. Turns out he was.
And was he a bad dude, and did he use pomade in his hair?
Well, I don't know about that, but hair does play into the story, so I'll try to tell the 45-second version. Biden decides at, like, age 20 that he wants to be a lifeguard at a pool in a black community because he said, and I'm quoting, I wanted to get to know the black community better, which is exactly the way 20-year-olds think when they're doing a summer job. But regardless, so this guy morphs in from David Hasselhoff, where he's a lifeguard, into Clint Eastwood. The leader of a gang called the Romans gets up on a diving board. And again, this is Joe Biden telling the story. Gets up on the diving board. He's not wearing a bathing cap. And apparently that's a big no-no in Wilmington. So Biden goes nuts and says, you get off that board until you put a bathing cap on and you do things right around here or I'll throw you out. Who do you think you are? Esther Williams, who was a female swimmer
yes
at the time. Meanwhile, all the other gang members that are under Corn Pop are playing like sharks and minnows in the pool. They hear all this. So Biden is completely embarrassed, a gang leader, in front of all of his minions. So they're waiting for him in a parking lot when Biden gets off work. And Biden grabs like the thing that separates the low end from the deep end, confronts Corn Pop, says, I'm not going to apologize for telling you to put on a bathing cap. I will apologize for saying that you're Esther Williams, but if you do that again with the bathing cap, I'll throw you out again. So what does Corn Pop do, according to Biden? He backs down and says, okay, man, and we're good, which would totally happen in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York with any gang member now, right? No, you'd be dead if you ever did that to anybody. But Biden tells these stories like he's Brian Williams, completely not under duress, makes up stuff like I got arrested in South Africa trying to see Nelson Mandela. And he does it for no apparent reason, I guess, except to, you know, make him look like a bigger man than he is, and he's not, because he can't hide the incompetency.
Well, he lives in a fantasy land. Follow him at Joe Concha TV. The book is Come On Man. Last question. You got 30 seconds left. He can't be running, can he, for a second term? Come on, Joe.
No shot he runs whatsoever, particularly when the Hunter Biden investigations open, when the GOP takes back the House.
Yes.
Then he'll be convinced to step aside. And then good luck and congratulations, Sebastian, because your ratings are going to go even higher than they are now. You're going to see 28 people vying for the Democratic nomination, just like they did in 2020, including Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg, Cory Booker, Hillary Clinton. Wow, that's going to be fun to talk about.
But how many of them will be wearing pomade and swinging a rusty chain? Find out today. The book came out yesterday. He is that fresh. He came to America first. It's Come On Man, the truth about Joe Joe Biden's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad presidency. And to quote the book, it's all about true international pressure. Yes, I can speak Bidenese as well. He is the best media commentator out there. Well done, Joe. He has his first book. This is America First. Your call's next. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752.
Upon this continent, a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Greetings, welcome, dear friends. Yes, you are listening to America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump and member to this current day because Biden's too much of a cow to get rid of me, of the National Security Education Board of the Pentagon. Crazy day yesterday before and after the show. After the show, we had dinner with the Polish ambassador. We'll be talking about the latest updates on the bombing, the sabotage of the Russian pipeline. Before the show, I made a little bit of news. Hey, Mr. G, you like it when I make the news, right?
It's always a good thing.
It's always a good thing for Mr. G. We had lunch on Capitol Hill with that fire brand Matt Gaetz, and afterwards a little story leaked about perhaps your host being a lead counsel or special investigator for the Hunter Biden committee after the midterms. We shall see. It's up to the GOP, but the Democrats did rather look worried when I walked into the members' dining room on Capitol Hill. We'll give all of the details and so much more on the show today. 3 hours, an amazing 3 hours, but no monologue to open because we've got a far more important thing. It is great when your wife says she listened to the show. It's also superb when one of your fellow colleagues does that. And when I get texts from a certain founder of a certain organization called Turning Point saying, great show today, Seb, makes me feel all warm inside. And he's with us right now, Charlie Kirk. Welcome aboard.
I mean it, Seb. You know, after our show here, I'm driving home and just trying to get my thoughts together. And I listen on the great AM 960, really great station out in Arizona. And you do a great job. Always fast paced. I like it.
That's very, very kind. Okay, so we would love to have you on the show every week. You're so incredibly busy. If you pass on, God forbid, I want your frequent flyer miles, because this okay. is a man on a mission across the country, founder of Turning Point USA. You had had your 8th or 9th anniversary?
Yeah, a 10th actually.
10th?
Yeah, it's been our 10th anniversary. Yeah, I visited all 48 contiguous 2 times. Visit 40 of them 5 times, and then all 50 I've done as well, if you count Alaska and Hawaii. So to give you an idea, I did all 48 once, and I did it again in 18 months.
Unbelievable. It is, along with my other colleague, Dennis Prager's PragerU, one of the most important organizations in America fighting to take back the Republic. I say this from the bottom of my heart. Listen, we've got 3 million listeners. If you're not supporting Turning Point USA, you're not serious about saving America. So Turning Point USA, you've got to give. It's such an important organization. However, you're on the show right now because my big bosses have said Charlie's doing something very, very special. It's called the Border Battle Series. Tell millions of listeners what you're doing now.
Yeah, and it's a great partnership with Salem. So this is actually our first interview about it, Seb, so it's really great. And it's not out yet, but it will be out at salemnow.com. And this was months of work. I kind of chimed in on that feed of all of us together, that thread of all of us together. So we live in Arizona, and we see the border casualties every day, from the drugs to the crime to the homelessness. And I said, why aren't we telling this story? The media is not telling it. And it's a deeper story than just, oh, look at all these people coming across the border. That's powerful imagery. There's so much behind this, though, Seb, from how the cartels work in conjunction with local authorities that are bought off and paid for, how local farmers are bought off by the cartels, how the fentanyl really is the kind of cash cow that keeps this going because it's so lethal and there's such a high demand for fentanyl now in suburban America across the country, which is really sad and tragic and awful, and we're seeing it in the death count. So we put all these pieces together. When we were first storyboarding this, we said, what is the story we want to tell? And the story we wanted to tell is how the southern border impacts every American, every community, and every state is a border state. So we embedded ourselves with Border Patrol, with Sheriff Mark Lamb. We got firsthand footage that nobody else has got. We have whistleblowers coming out saying how they have been told not to enforce the border over the last 18 months. Just shocking stuff, right? It's a multi-part series. We're going to do it exclusively with Salem at salemnow.com. Our amazing Turning Point USA team is doing so much stuff. But honestly, I was looking around and I said, I don't think anyone's telling the story. And so we said, hey, we raised a little money for it. We put a lot of resources behind it. It's high quality. It's beautiful in the sense as it's not going to put you to sleep. It's not just someone talking the whole time. It's front lines. And so for all your listeners that already have memberships at salemnow.com, that will drop, I think, on October 7th. But this is a good preview of it to get people ready for it.
So we had Sheriff Lamb in studio just a few days ago, and we had exactly the same idea. We grabbed a camera about a year ago. We went down to the border at his invitation. We just spent a day there, and it was horrific. I mean, wherever we went, we got out of the patrol car, and there was detritus, there was spore, there was signs of mass human trafficking everywhere. Tell our listeners what shocked you the most when you went down to Pinal County.
Yeah, I mean, I've been all over the border from Yuma to Pinal County to Nogales. What shocked me the most is how easy it could be solved and how unwilling we are to currently solve it. That's been the big shock. And so I've done multiple visits to the border. I did it under the prior administration as well, under the Trump administration, and it was bad, no doubt. It was not where it should be. This was back in 18, right? But it's so much worse now. In fact, I made that now viral video. It's been seen like 60 million times where I went to one crossing and you could just go across if you choose, right? Like you could go with a backpack on your back. You can go right to the Mexican southern Mexican border and do this. And now it's a complete and total, it's even worse. In fact, what's so bad about it, it's as if our authorities want it to happen.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to, you know, educate as many people. This is a project of education. People think they know what's happening on the southern border. It's more than just wages. It's more than labor. I believe it's a deliberate, calculated invasion from the people who hate us most to just get drugs, crime, guns, and a lot of different criminals that are now embedded in our country that, unfortunately, it's like a ticking time bomb, right? So they've basically have these little time bombs that are going to detonate over the next couple of years and decades of criminals that should not be in our country that, unfortunately, Americans will die. They'll get raped. They'll get robbed because we allowed our southern border to be wide open.
All right. It's called Border Battle. It's a series of films. You've got to see it at salemnow.com. It's going to be launched imminently. This is the first interview. God willing, I will be working with Charlie on another film project about manhood. We have one of your faith ambassadors on our show tomorrow, the great Pastor John Amanchukwu, to talk about the war on manhood.
He's great.
Love Pastor John. I know you're going to be having an event soon, so that's all to come. But now it's the border battle. Last question for you. Give a little bit of, look, you are indefatigable. You're one of the smartest guys I know. You're on a mission. What do you say to those listening right now who see what's happened to their children in school, in college, come home brainwashed, indoctrinated? Why should the listeners of this show, the parents, the grandparents, not give up on the greatest nation on God's earth, Charlie?
Well, we have no choice, right? And so, look, we're up against huge odds, but we're already seeing the trend, I think, go in the right direction. And we're seeing it already in the last 5 years. The amount of young people identify as liberal is down 10 points. 10 points.
Wow.
And that's liberal worldview. And I'll send you the study after this. Now, the amount of people that identify as conservative, up 1 point. But hey, that's minus 10 for them, up one. This is not even political. This is worldview. And a worldview is the filter of which you process all information daily. Do you believe in the natural law? Do you believe that human beings should be restrained when it comes to power? You know, a worldview is a very important way to be able to understand whether or not someone is going to align with you when it really matters most. But look, I think there's so much more fight left in the American people. I think we're massively underestimating them at times. And I think the forces of darkness are soon going to be scattered into confusion, whether it be the intelligence agencies that are lying to us here domestically or whether it be our financial institutions. I think the virus of wokeism operates, opens up an opportunity for us to be able to challenge them in considerable ways. But the final thing I'll say is this, is we have truth on our side, not lies. We know that. And if you have truth without courage, then that truth will just die as a whisper in the corner. So we need to pair that truth with courage. And that's why courage is the ultimate virtue. That courage is spreading very quickly right now. I really do.
It is the virtue that makes all other virtues possible. Read this man's work. The latest is The College Scam. Before that, it was The MAGA Doctrine. You can follow him, Charlie Kirk 11, also TPUSA. You've got to go to TPUSA.com. You've got to supportthem.org. You've got to donate to them. God bless you, Charlie, and it is the border battle. If you like the show, also, please subscribe right now on Spotify. We'll be back with my take on what happened to that Russian pipeline. Stay with us here on America First.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.